Your number one news and talk station, 567 Cape Talk.
14 minutes after 2 o'clock. Melanie and Dave, thanks very much for joining us in the studio. Why did you agree to my invitation to join us on radio? I mean, this is a very personal thing, is it not?
It is personal, but I feel that to have my lifestyle accepted and acknowledged, I need to share it with people. There's so many questions, there's so many misconceptions and myths out there about polyamory, about open relationships, about multiple partners, and I feel that, really, I need to share the information.
And for you, Dave?
I'm here mostly as support for Melanie. I mean, she's the big vocal voice in polyamory, and I just, well...
She's like the polyamory head girl of the Western Cape.
Yeah.
Okay. So your families know, your friends know, you're out.
Yes.
Okay. Melanie, please describe what the rules are.
The rules differ for every relationship, and I mean every single relationship. The same person can be involved in two or three different relationships with completely different rules. For Dave and myself, our rules are very much focused on safe sex and emotional stability. We need to know where we stand with the other person. Other rules, which are the primary rules of polyamory, are honesty, communication, and trust. Those are the three most important points in polyamory.
My introduction was talking about the fact that some people do not fundamentally believe that monogamy is our natural state. How did you come into this philosophy? How did it all begin for you?
For me, I've never felt comfortable in monogamous relationships. I never acted on it because I didn't think I had any options. I tried open relationships, a little bit of swinging, things like that. They never worked for me, as I discovered them when I was in varsity, as you do.
I didn't. Maybe you did.
Yeah. And from there, I slowly started learning, and then one day I was chatting with an acquaintance who has since become a very good friend, and he said, "Haven't you ever heard of polyamory?" Went home, Googled it, and I went, "That's me to a T."
So you never acted on it. You're not like many people who do have affairs. You wanted to, but you didn't. You wanted a structure where it could all be above board, which is, hey, guys, this is why I'm doing the show. It's different, isn't it? It's about decent people and everybody explaining it to each other.
Yes, it's fundamentally different from cheating, in that in cheating you have a party who's been betrayed, and we never want to do anything like that, which is why everybody has to know everything. You know, every single partner knows about every single other partner, and everybody has given their okay to the situation.
So do you each currently have other partners? Are you prepared to share that?
I don't at the moment. I have an option, but at the moment...
an option.
Or a couple of options.
Tender out.
But I broke off a relationship a little while back, and I think I'm still reeling from that.
Oh. This is weird, Dave.
What?
Your wife is reeling from the breakup of a relationship with somebody else?
Yes.
Has it always been comfortable with you? Are you both always on the same wavelength?
No, not at all.
Explain, please.
I grew up very conservatively, and so I didn't know any other options but monogamy. But then I fell in love and married Melanie. And she had always made it clear that she wasn't entirely monogamous, and I knew that this was a factor.
Was it tough for you?
Well, you know, there's a learning curve that happens, and it happened very slowly for us because I came from a monogamous standpoint. You know, first we discussed her flirting with other people, and then it was her kissing other people, and then it kind of proceeded from there. And I was amazed at every stage at how comfortable I was and how much it benefited our relationship.
Because what were you saying to Dave about all of that?
I was completely honest. Anytime I flirted... Firstly, beforehand, I would go and say, "Do you mind if I go out tonight and flirt with people?" And he would have to agree to that. If he didn't, if he said he wasn't feeling comfortable, all my attention would be focused on him. From there, we would proceed to each step. And the fact that he was comfortable, every single time we tried something new, I would always preface the activity with, "You can say stop whenever you want to." And he never said stop.
Yeah, and now it's led to the situation where I am actually in another relationship.
And you're not.
Yeah.
So, relationship, long-term partners, friends and lovers,
yes,
potentially upending your entire marriage.
Well, radically changing.
Talk to me about that. What happens if you fall in love with these people? I mean, you're not wanting to go out and just have one night stands, right?
No, mm-hmm. No.
This is about relationships.
It is about relationships.
So this is dangerous zone.
Well, every relationship is a dangerous zone.
It's expected that
yours is more.
It's expected that we'll fall in love with other people, but we won't fall out of love with each other, is the idea.
Yes.
The focus is on a committed relationship. Just because you're not committed to one person, you're committed to each relationship and making it work.
So you might end up not being bedfellows, but being friends and having other lovers and relationships. That it may be the death of romantic sexual marriage for the two of you, or not.
Oh, it's possible, but I don't. I mean,
it has happened.
It has happened in other relationships, so we know. But I don't see it happening.
Why do this?
It's fulfilling. It gives me more to my life. I absolutely adore spending time with Dave. I love Dave deeply.
You got a child together, a 2-year-old girl?
Yes. Yeah. We have a daughter. Our family is wonderful. And we just also believe that we can love lots of people and include them in our family. That family doesn't have to be bloodlines.
How long have you been polyamorous, Dave, as a couple?
2004.
Yeah, so 4 years.
So you're 4 years into this.
Yeah.
Is this going to be the shape of your... Is the idea that this is going to be the shape of your relationship for the future?
Yes.
We've both, I think, found a place where we're comfortable with it now.
How did your family... I'm asking all the obvious questions. I want to share with everybody the scope of this. You needed to come out to your families. I assume that you have. You're on the radio.
I came out to my family accidentally. there was a slip-up of wording, and my mother is the crossword queen, and she heard the word poly. It took her a few seconds and went, wait, are you polyamorous? I had been for about 6 months before that introducing my parents to the idea, to my family, to the idea of polyamory. I had a friend who was openly polyamorous, and they had met him, and... You know, so I could introduce them to the idea, and since then it's been tough.
I imagine so.
Very tough. My father is not accepting, but he knows about it. My mother's a lot more accepting. She hopes to be disproven that it's a bad idea.
Dave, is the way that your families accept this, or us maybe people maybe thinking about this accept this, is that next to what you guys do, people are having affairs all over the show. It's an illness in this town, in this country, you know. So would you be the kind of people who would have affairs? You said no.
Never. Never for me. No.
I was always non-monogamous mentally and emotionally, but I would always, my emotional state I would try to stop. When I fell for somebody else, when I was in a monogamous relationship, I would try to cut off all contact with that person.
Are you friends with Dave's? You call her a lover, partner, girlfriend,
yes.
What?
Girlfriend.
Are you all friends?
We are friends.
Yes.
I get along with her very well.
Okay. What are you going to tell your daughter?
She already knows that there are lots of people who love each other, who are part of our... We call ourselves a clan because we've got so-and-so's boyfriend and so-and-so's ex-lover who's still really good friends. And all these people who are very close to us, who are an extended family, I believe very deeply in communities raising children. So she's already going to have the idea that not all relationship structures are the same. And from there, we figure she'll just figure it out on her own. She'll never be pushed into polyamory. If she has questions, we'll give her answers. We'll tell her about monogamy as well.
Do you hold back physically with your partners in front of her? And will you? Are there rules around that?
No, not really. Well, only as much as I hold back with Melanie. I mean, obviously, you know, you don't go full at it in front of your child. And
would you hug, kiss, be sort of socially intimate with your girlfriend in front of Melanie?
Yes.
Okay. Would you do the same in front of your 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5-year-old? I think that's very, very confusing for a child.
What's confusing about it? My daughter's already told me she wants a new mommy.
Because she can see that there is possibility of that.
I think it was just a random 2-year-old statement. But I think 2-year-olds don't... I mean, relationships in the past and in other cultures have definitely not been, monogamy is not the only option out there, and children have always grown up in those cultures without being drastically confused and injured, so I don't really see what the problem is.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here two bright, intelligent, Cape Townian, young, married couple. They are speaking openly. They've got rules. I want to know what you think about this. 021-446-0567. They're pretty open to answering any questions. Obviously, you're not going to go into, you know, your personal sort of intimate details, as very few people would on the radio, and I would never expect that. But in terms of the setup and the philosophy of this, I'd like to hear what you think, because what you both saying, you initially for a long time, and Dave, the lifestyle that you've come into, is that you are indulging the fact that people are not, in your view, primarily, instinctively, primarily monogamous. And so scope is given in your lives to indulge this. Well, yes? No?
No, I don't know if people are not primarily or instinctively monogamous. I think that some people might be primarily or instinctively monogamous.
Okay.
We've just come to a place where we think we aren't.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just say thank goodness you're both on the same wavelength, because I've met other people and I've interviewed other people who've gone into some of this kind of stuff and swinging whatever it is, and there are potential disaster areas, and you're going to talk about that as well, because that's the scope of this too. 021-446-0567. We'll speak to Peter in Muizenberg. Polyamory, there are about 500 people in the Western Cape region in the country.
I think that might be I think that's in the country.
In the country.
That we know about.
Right. Who are part of the Polyamory Network. I'll give you a website, you can have a look at it, but I'm assuming that there are many, many more couples who are doing this kind of thing, have open marriages, open relationships, and for whatever reason haven't heard of you, don't want to hook up with you, just want to do their own thing.
Don't know the word.
Yeah, so the numbers are out there, Dave.
Yeah.
Okay. It's 25 minutes after 2. Fascinating, troubling, interesting. Let's hear from you. 021-446-0567. It's 28 minutes after 2 o'clock. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. If you've just tuned in, you don't want to miss this one. We talk about polyamory. Melanie and Dave have been married for 5 years. They've got a 2-year-old little girl. They are polyamorous, which means that they can both openly and with certain rules have relationships with other people. Currently, Dave is in a relationship. Melanie is not. Dave's girlfriend and Melanie are fast friends. It's kind of like an extended community, and quite a few of you are SMSing to say you want the website. That's the only way you can get into this community. I will give it to you. I'm not endorsing it, but I'll give it to you. Peter in Muizenberg, hello.
Hi, yeah. Look, I'm also in a polyamorous relationship.
Gosh, is anybody not?
Maybe John and me and Obi and Dusty.
You
know? I mean, in my case, it's what's called a V, two guys and one woman. And we've got a little family of two kids, or two different fathers. But what I wanted to actually specifically speak to is, you mentioned that you raised this topic in the context of cheating. And it might be a surprise to you, but you can still get cheating in the context of polyamory.
No, it's not a surprise to me.
It's not like the one is somehow a replacement. It's not like polyamory is somehow giving the nod to cheating. Because if you make an agreement between people and that agreement is broken, whether your agreement is polyamory with particular rules or monogamy, whatever it is, if that trust is broken, that's cheating. So this isn't some way to basically
have an alternative.
Somebody comes along and says, actually I'm a serial cheater and I'm just going to convince my partner that I'm actually polyamorous and they must just go along with whatever I do. I mean, that's not polyamory.
Yeah, good point. Well made. Talk to Les and Stefan next. It's 2:30. Eyewitness News headlines, Tessa van Staden.
Thank you, Lisa. Good afternoon. Parties have not been able to reach consensus regarding an application for an interdict that will effectively suspend the Erasmus Commission's work. As a result, public hearings at the beleaguered body have stalled for a second day. The National Ports Authority has confirmed that an uncleared Chinese vessel suspected of carrying arms destined for Zimbabwe has docked at the Durban harbour. The vessel entered the port without clearance and is currently docked at the outer anchorage. And moving abroad, thousands of police and soldiers have been deployed in Islamabad and Pakistan for the Olympic torch relay. The torch arrived in the country amid tight security earlier today. More details at 3 o'clock or as it happens.
Thanks very much. 2:30. And let's talk to John. Your show this afternoon, 3 to 6.
More detail on the top two local stories that Tessa mentioned there in Eyewitness News. Lisa, Susan Shibanga, the Deputy Minister of Safety and Security, who was so much in the media yesterday, she killed the bastards. She's at an imbizo just outside Somerset West this afternoon, so we will find out from a reporter who is there as well whether she's using the same sort of language. And, I don't know, a couple of other things I'm sure we'll find to check in as well.
He'll definitely be with you between 3 and 6. Thank you very much, John. Some SMSs, it's a sinful stop. Why get married if you aren't satisfied with one sexual partner? Disgusted, says a listener. Dave, somebody says, I don't think that Dave is a willing participant. I really hope he finds somebody better. Lisa says, another listener, my heart breaks for your 2.5-year-old daughter, your daughter, not mine. What an awful environment to raise a child. What has the world come to? I think Melanie is an infomaniac. The rest of this I can't actually say. They can't be Christians. Lisa says, Moira, this is one huge, big mess. Another one for you, Dave. A lot of support for you. People want to know how your parents respond. Moira is saying that, Jen is saying that you didn't have much choice in the whole matter. You know, love Melanie. Take her lifestyle into your life. We'll talk about that as well. And a listener says, you're fooling yourself, you're cheating with your partner's blessing, no amount of rules can make it good, it is an affair, spade is a spade, etc. Somebody wants to know how your vows read, a couple of SMSs saying that you're perverts, and then a caller saying, Lisa, you're sounding judgmental, these are brave people to come out on air even if we don't agree with their way of life. Liz, hello to you.
How are you doing?
I am fine. How are you? Are you listening on audio streaming?
I'm actually streaming, yes.
Yeah. Go ahead, Liz.
I just wanted to say that at the moment I'm not polyamorous, but I am in a relationship with a woman who is polyamorous, and she's married. And I just wanted to say that the tools that in a polyamorous relationship, when you've got somebody who's experienced and knows that what they're doing, they need to make sure that they care for your feelings first, that there needs to be a lot of communication, needs to be a lot of understanding, that's actually skills that I'm going to be taking on. Regardless of what happens next, if I go into another relationship, if I just stay monogamous like I am, these are skills that are actually going to do me very, very good. They're going to do me well when I go on in the future.
Is this about sexual gratification or about emotional and sexual? I'll ask this to my guest as well. You know,
sure.
What is the need that is being filled here?
Well, when you go into any relationship, you're going to have a set of needs regardless of what they are. Now, finding somebody who's compatible as far as your needs are concerned, that's the main thing. You could be wanting somebody who adores you. You could be wanting someone who satisfies you in a sexual way. Whatever relationship you want, you're going to have certain needs, and finding somebody who meets those needs is a prime directive for you. Now, if it's somebody to talk to, somebody to hang out with, somebody to spare special times with, or even more intimate moments, it really depends on what it is that you want and finding somebody that meets your needs. Now, my relationship's a long-distance one, so if I'm only getting to see her maybe twice a month on weekends, what would be the point of her not being able to enjoy other moments with other people? And it doesn't have to be of an intimate nature. It can be really, really close friends. You can love your friends, that can be a platonic love, but it can also stretch into something where you make a commitment to these people to say, well, you know what, I really like you and I want to do something further with you and give you some sort of commitment. But during all of this, you need to be able to discuss everything that you're feeling. Now, that was something, I'm divorced, it was something that I had great difficulty doing in a previous relationship.
So you feel the reality when we say you're never going to get one thing out of everybody, this is a way that you can have the most fulfilling relationship.
Absolutely.
Life.
Every single person has various needs that they're going to be met. If you're lucky enough to find one person that meets every single one of your needs, that's fantastic and you're incredibly lucky. But there are going to be some people who might say, right, my partner and I get along famously. We go out to parties, we have a great time, we're good social partners, we're good activity partners, but in other areas, I'm just not being fulfilled. Now, if you can be mature, discuss these things, make sure that the other person's feelings are taken into account, and respect them, why can't you spend time with other people?
Okay, and the big thing here is that everybody has to be on the same wavelength. The suggestion from a listener is that it's not, and something I also want to put in here is that, is life all about just fulfilling need? Is it, you know, I'm not fulfilled here, that's why I should do this. Is it not also about the ability to commit to one person? I'm not talking about this, you know, in terms of a religious thing or moral thing, but one person, give it a go.
I feel that I am committed to one person. I'm completely committed to Dave. I'm completely committed to making our relationship work. My family, and by that I mean my daughter, myself, and Dave, the three of us are incredibly close. We spend as much time together as we can. I'm committed to that. At the same time, if I had another relationship, I'd be committed to that relationship, to giving it what it needed.
Okay. Liz, thanks for calling in. He was listening on streaming, and thanks to Pigs Peak Hotel and Casino, who make the streaming available for us on our website. A lot of people listening, the rest of South Africa, around the world, and you go on to capetalk.co.za and you can audio stream. So a lot of people listening to all of this. Dave, people are worried about you. They're saying, love Melanie, love her lifestyle. They want to know how your family responded and whether you are really and always were a willing participant in the setup.
I was always a willing participant in whatever happened.
Can you say that again?
I was always a willing participant in whatever happened.
Okay.
We discussed at every step what was happening, and I made sure I was comfortable with it.
Okay.
I'm by no means a pushover or a wuss or anything.
Good for you, Dave. Yeah. How did your parents respond?
To tell you the truth, family. We haven't really spoken about it much. I communicated with them when Melanie went on national TV, introduced things via email, and never got a response to that, and sort of left things there.
But are they in the country?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
Yeah. But that sometimes happens in my family. You know, we don't always talk about everything.
Okay. As grandparents, there may be concerns.
Mm.
There could be. But once again, there's so many things to be more concerned with. We show our daughter that we love each other deeply. We show our daughter that we love her completely. She's a very secure child, and this is from other people who've said that. She's very secure in who she is and where she comes from.
Okay. There are some people who want to know more about the rules of this, so we'll talk a bit more in a moment or two. I don't want this entire radio interview to be the sort of apologetic explanation, you know. I would rather give you a chance to explain what it is that you do, what your philosophy is, and take sort of questions around that. Stefan is an airport industrial. Stefan, hello to you.
Hi there.
Mm.
My question is really it's really quite basic, and that is, they mentioned, yeah, well, if they want to spend time with their girlfriends or boyfriends, they do so. But now, if the one partner says to the other, well, honey, I'm not going to be home tonight or the next night. I'm going to be spending some time now with my other partner. You take care of the kid and deal with it. You know, I've been married for 19 years. I have two kids, yeah. Happily married. But, you know, that doesn't go without its challenges. And I just think, you know, isn't there enough challenges just in a marriage to try and deal with the issues and keep the children, you know, sort of happy and on the straight and narrow? Now you've got all these other factors that you've got to deal with on top of it. I'm quite amazed at how they juggle and deal with this.
Yeah.
But I'm happy to listen on the radio further.
Thanks very much. A brilliant call. Who wants to take?
Yeah, well, I can talk.
Yeah, of course you can talk.
Yes.
How do you have the time to do this?
Scheduling. It's a big thing in the polyamory community. Everybody brings up their day planners and you try your best to schedule. For a start, I would never say, honey, I am going to be out with my girlfriend. You look after the child. It's either, honey, I've organized a babysitter. Is this date all right for going out with my girlfriend while you do something else nice? Or, honey, how is this date? How about my girlfriend and I babysit while you go out and do something? You really want to make sure that you're doing something which you enjoy while your partner's off with somebody else.
Have either of you ever felt that niggle, that fear that you might lose the other one to the girlfriend or to the other boyfriend?
I honestly haven't.
No, not the losing one, no.
I have felt insecure, but usually that's got, once again, problems with scheduling or we're not spending enough time together. And I've noticed, especially something we call new relationship energy, it's this bubbly, it's the Disney chemicals.
The 2-year period.
Yeah.
The honeymoon phase.
Where you just want to spend time with that new person, that wonderful person. You can't imagine anyone else in the world. And recently with Dave's girlfriend, I've had to watch that and happening to him. And every now and then I've had to say, Dave, spend some time with me. And he remembers most of the time to focus on me and channel those new relationship energies into our relationship. But every now and then I feel a bit insecure. We sit down, we discuss it, and we plan a date night where it's just the two of us.
Let's talk about where it does go wrong, because it can go wrong, not only in your community, but in any of the variables that we can talk about in terms of relationships.
It can go very, very wrong.
Yeah.
The problems are where someone feels coerced into the lifestyle, where they're not actually comfortable with it, where they're
you want to keep your relationship, you don't want to lose it. That's why they were worried about you, Dave, earlier on.
Yeah, sure. It's a big danger. There are a lot of people out there on the internet that I've read forums and discussions with them and had private discussions with them where they've gone, oh no, I'm sure he'll change his mind when we get married.
And there's probably people listening and who have done things, sexual things or other things that you wouldn't have wanted to have done. You wouldn't do it normally because you were asked to do it, and if you don't,
it's the end of the relationship.
Yes. Could be.
You really cannot get into a polyamory lifestyle starting from a relationship which isn't absolutely stable. You really need a very solid relationship.
How many relationships are absolutely stable? I mean, when I was thinking about doing the show and I was writing up some notes, I was just saying, I turned to Vasti and we looked at each other, and we said the only way that this can really work is in in the rare situation where there is a couple that is on an extraordinary, solid, committed wavelength and can keep to those rules for years to come. Because it's great now, but it may not be in years to come, and it may come back at you,
etc. We are always open to the fact that it could change quite easily, that we'll have to look at our relationship every day as it comes. Both of us are being young people. We are of the therapy generation. We believe that a therapist, a psychologist, is a very good friend to have when you need them. And we're both willing to go into marriage counseling if we feel that our relationship is failing.
Yeah. Your marriage started with this philosophy,
yes.
Dave and Mel. So it's when you started married life, this is what it was. So my question would have been, of course, has it helped your marriage? How long were you together before you got married?
We were together 1.5 years before we got married.
Okay, but since you've been together, this is how it's been.
Well, the idea of open relationships was opened when we first got together.
Okay.
But
you can't really compare, right?
Well, I can, because we only actually started having a practically open relationship 3 years after we got together. So we had 3 years of being basically monogamous with the concept of flirting and whatever. But I mean, I think a lot of couples are okay to...
Yeah, well, that's 3 years. Yeah. The first two are the honeymoon phase anyway,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give out the website, and the site is for what? The South African grouping?
This is South Africa. It also has a lot of very, very useful links for international sites. It's a much bigger society community internationally than it is in South Africa.
How big is it?
Internationally, I have no idea. You've got...
formally, because a lot of people do this.
The Loving More Conference happens every year, and I think recently they had 20,000 people, and that's just a conference in the United States.
Yeah.
Quite a thing going to a Loving More Conference. We might be hunting. You're hunting for a partner now, aren't you?
I'm not hunting, no. I've always been a believer, and this is when I'm single, when I'm in a relationship. If you're hunting, you're not going to find it.
Coming to you for training. David, a closing sort of word or two from you. A lot of people have been listening to this. It's an edgy topic. There are a lot of people who, myself included, you know, I believe in monogamy. That's how I want to and do live my life. But hopefully I'm open enough to other people's choices, as long as they don't cross over other people's rights. This is a democracy after all. You're doing this quietly. On your own steam, you're not forcing anybody. What do you want to say to everybody who's still integrating this, either thinking that you're crazy, either thinking that you're wonderful? How do you want to close, Dave?
I have no idea. I think that the main thing we want is for people to know about this lifestyle and consider it as a valid choice, along with not only monogamy, but the other exempted forms of polygamy which we have in this culture. I mean, the president of the ANC is a polygamist, for instance, and that's perfectly accepted. I think that...
Polygamy, okay, for men, but there isn't... I think there is a female option, but not in mainstream cultures and religions.
Polyandry, yeah, it's fairly rare.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And male polygamy is technically polygyny. Polygamy is both genders. Yeah.
Okay. Jacob Zuma is a polygynist.
Yes, he's a polygynist.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. And I just want our option to be accepted as something that people do, and, you know, we're not complete freaks.
Mel?
I echo everything that Dave said. Information is power, and I don't like being judged. I don't like being disrespected. But most importantly, I want to point out to the person who asked what were our vows when we got married.
Yeah, sorry, forgot about that. Yeah.
This is a very important point. I vowed to respect Dave. and to spend my life with Dave and to learn with him and to teach him and to learn from him, to be with him and to work my hardest at making our relationship work and to communicate everything, even the bad stuff. And I didn't need to promise faithfulness, sexual faithfulness or emotional faithfulness. I didn't need to make any other... I don't have to obey him, that's for sure.
Yeah.
It is a democracy. We get to sit down and talk to each other and find our own rules. And that's actually why I'm here. I don't want people to become polyamorous. I want people to find their own rules.
Yeah.
If they happen to fit into polyamory in some way, great. If they don't, at least respect other people who do.
Okay. Polyamory, P-O, it's like spelling bee. Polyamory, P-O-L-Y-A-M-O-R-Y.co.za. Thank you, Mel. Thank you, Dave.